to singing, I do pretty good. If I ain't got nothing to talk about, something will come and I can start talking. But to sing, whew, thank you, Lord. Y'all done a real good job. And I'll get a hammer back here in a little bit and I'll figure out what's going on. If we don't get that fixed, we'll get something that's going to work. Amen? Praise God. That's one of them things you just got to deal with. Well, like I say, welcome again. I wanted to read this from Dr. Price, Miss Jean. I forgot to read it last week. I had it and just didn't read it, but they wanted me to read this. This is for their appreciation at the first Sunday we had here. It says, "This day, God greets us with new mercies. They begin there. God has given us access to his mercy seat. Pray there. God has set our feet upon a rock. Stand there. God has made straight paths for our feet. Walk there. God has promised to care for us. Rest there. God has brought us into fellowship with his Son. Thrive there." That's awesome. You can about preach on that right there. But that's what it's about. It's about thriving. Wherever Jesus is, that's where we stand. But they said, "Word of Faith family, we want to thank you for the service and the dinner for September 28th, celebrating our 20th year of service to you. We appreciate the kind words, cards, and gifts that you've blessed us with. Thank you for your expressions of love. We love you, Gary and Jean. From his abundance, we have all received and one gracious blessing after another." And that's John 1:16. "You and your family be blessed as you serve the Lord. Dr. Gary and Jean Price." So we'll put that up there on the bulletin board. They want to make sure I shared that with you. And Dr. Price was always about doing things excellent. Amen? Iron sharpens iron. For our offering this morning, I'd like us to turn over to the book of John chapter 6. I was thinking about when I got born again and how the Lord was ministering to me and showing me about how much of a blessing it is to give. Because I didn't know that. I didn't understand that. I was struggling without Christ in this world, in my finances, in every area of my life. You know, when you don't have Christ in your life and you're out here and you're working, it's called struggling. And it's like nothing ever worked. It's like you get a little bit ahead and then something knock you down in my finances. I never got out. It's like a hole you keep digging, you never get out of. You just get deeper, deeper, deeper. In John chapter 6, verses 1 through 13, the feeding of the 5,000 says, "After these things, Jesus had been teaching, preaching." He was good at that. Amen. That's what he was called to do. "Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great multitude coming toward him. He said to Philip," I mean, glad they wasn't Philip that day. He picked one out. He just didn't say, "My disciples." He said, "Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this Jesus said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. But that's an example of a great teacher. And a pastor, I know all things that we need to do, but we need help. And we got to train others, so that's a test. Philip, Jesus is saying, "Philip, how are we going to feed this multitude?" And I want you to know, when Jesus saw the multitude coming and following him, God had already told him, he was already preparing him, that they're going to be hungry. They're hungry for the word, but they're also, naturally, they're going to be hungry. Why didn't I listen to the Holy Ghost, know that thing wasn't going to work for me this morning? See, God had already, I was up here yesterday, but I wasn't listening somewhere, because I should have knew something wasn't going to work out. You got to test it again, test them waters again. When you first come to church, even though you've been there that night, turn it back on again, he's saying. Make sure you hear it again. And that's what he's asking Philip. Philip had been with Jesus. Miracles was the normal for him, right? That's God. That's just normal. It shouldn't be abnormal to a Christian to see miracles and signs and wonders. It should be a normal way of life to us. Philip answered, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have just a little. Philip's saying, it's going to be rationed. We have to ration this stuff out. But one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a little boy over here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. So that little boy must have had more than what Philip was seeing. But what is this among so many? Even that was just like a little compared to the crowds that was following. Verse 10, and Jesus said, make the people sit down, and there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. We can sit about 150 to 200 in here. Think about 5,000. That's probably about 5 of these churches. That's a pretty good, now that's not counting the men and women. About 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost. Therefore, they gathered them up and filled, how many baskets? 12. 12 disciples, 12 baskets. Not just a little bit in the baskets, filled. Those baskets were filled with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Do you ever eat on Sunday and you have leftovers? Well, why do you have leftovers? Because there ain't no more room, right? Because you got filled up. Jesus filled us with the Word, and then he filled us and satisfied us inwardly too. Amen? God is about filling up his people to overflow where there's leftovers. And I just want you to step back a minute and just look. Here was that little boy who had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. And one key was he was willing to give it. That's one key to your miracle right there. What do you have in your hand? What do you have in your pocketbook? And we're not a people that's not prepared. We're prepared to give on Sundays. We know what being a blessing is all about. We know that God is Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider. This little boy must have knew that. He had heard that, been taught that. And now, when Jesus said in verse 11, Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks... How important it is to, when you receive something that somebody, when you bring your offering this morning, Jesus received that from that boy and he gave thanks. I want you to know, God gives thanks when you give. Jesus, the Son of God, looked up to heaven and gave thanks for what this little boy, he said, Father, he's given all he's had. I'm giving thanks to you. Now, when Jesus looked up, he just didn't look up with his natural eyes. This is what you got to see when we bring our offerings here and give. You've got to look up past what you can see, and you got to look into the heavenlies, and you got to see Jesus sitting there saying thank you, and he's receiving our offering as a sweet smelling aroma, because he sees everybody else where your offering is going and it's blessing them. See, he sees that from heaven. And that's what we got to see, that it's, to us sometimes it just seems like a little. That boy, it's just a little to the disciples. But Jesus knew with God, all things are possible. I can take this little, what I have, and I can multiply it and feed thousands. Amen? So, and I've got to see this. Sometimes we just get in a habit. We're creatures of habit. We just write things and say things. But we need to look further. We need to look deeper and hear from God, and he'll show you. I see a child. You're writing this check today, but in heaven they're being touched. They're getting born again. They're hearing the gospel on the internet. Or somebody's going to feed them that heard the message, and somebody from your church went out and met that need. Jesus sees all that. And one day in heaven, they're going to come by our mansion, your mansion, knock on your door, and say, do you recognize me? And we might not, because that might be a testimony that just one of those days in heaven, we'll get down and sit with that little boy and talk about how his life got touched and changed by our gift. Amen? That's how God works and how he works. He's a supernatural God. Amen? So let's stand this morning. And don't think what you have in your hand is little. Look up. Look up into the Spirit and see Jehovah Jireh, your provider, saying thank you because you were willing to trust Him and give, knowing that He is the giver of all good things. Amen? And He's already promised to bless you. And He's not just going to rain money from heaven. No, He's going to rain His anointing, Holy Spirit, rain down. That anointing, the Bible says He gives us power to obtain wealth. He's going to give you supernatural ability, wisdom on your job, to your family, to your church, to your brother, to your sister. And then God's going to take you to that special place. Amen. It might be a wilderness sometime. It might be a wilderness situation. But let's trust Him. Amen. Father, we thank You, Lord, as we come and offer our bring our tithes and offerings to You today, Father, that, Lord, we don't see a little. We see Your abundance, Father, that You're a God that blesses Your children abundantly above all that we could ask or think. So, Lord, we just break that small thinking mentality right now because we serve the God of the universe. And, Father, we bring our best to You today, and we thank You, Lord, that You bless our best, and it comes back to us, Father, in ways that we can't even imagine, Lord, but You can. And we're trusting You, Father God, for that favor, that special favor and anointing that comes upon our lives, Lord, as we go out here and trust You. And we say thank You, Father God. We give thanks to You today, Lord, for every good and every perfect gift You have given us. Can you say amen? Amen. Come bring your offerings this morning. Yes, we say thank You, Lord. Yes, we give thanks to You, Lord. Yes, we do. Amen. Thank You, Jesus. Okay, I got about 25 minutes here. I'm going to try to do a little bit with you on some more on the blood covenant, and then we're going to have our meeting here. But talking about the blood covenant, remember that word covenant means to cut till the blood flows. But also, I want you to be thinking too that now, a lot of times we don't hear covenant so much anymore when we're reading the Bible as we hear Old Covenant or Old Testament and New Testament. But the same word, that testament and covenant, is the same word. So we need to be thinking about when we read the New Testament, it's actually the new covenant that was cut through the blood flowing from the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that covenant, another part of the blood covenant in the Old Testament that related a lot was the exchange of armor and weapons. You know, I'm not a real big historian, but I remember some of the old movies, Yul Brynner, Charlton Heston, you know, that they got there on those, played Moses and out there in the chariots and the horses. But our armor is not as heavy and rugged as the old ones used to be. God has opened up and gives us wisdom as we get older, shows us things how we can operate more efficiently in the world, even in war. He knew it was coming. But in exchanging of armor and weapons, covenant partners, they made these following declarations and can still be declared today. That all that I have is yours and my strength is at your disposal. I will fight to the death for you in this covenant. All my warring ability is available to you. Now, as I minister the words, we minister the word, let it paint pictures. And when those pictures come, set your faith there because you need to see this. You need to see yourself with God's warring ability. Angels encamped about you over 9 foot tall with swords. They're not small, they're huge. They're the armies of the Lord of hosts. And they were created by Him. Jesus makes the same declaration to us as His sons and daughters. Amen? He's saying, everything that I have, Jesus is saying, everything that He has is yours and it's mine, including His strength and His power. Jesus is saying to us, I am your champion. Amen? Jesus needs to be on the box of Wheaties. Can everybody get a picture of that? We've seen Michael Jordan. We've seen I don't know a lot of them, but Michael, he was my favorite.
Track runners?
On the box of Wheaties. Well, Jesus ran a race that only He could win. I think He deserves to be on the front and back cover of Wheaties. Amen? We could agree with that, couldn't we? Because He's our champion.
Yes.
He is our champion. He don't get old. He's getting a little bit of age on him. You don't see him on the box of Wheaties. See, the world standards and God's standards and covenants are not the same. The world wants to use you and abuse you while you have the power and ability.
Yes.
But God says, my power and my ability is till you're 99 years old and older. Moses was 120,
yes,
and he climbed a mountain to lay down, to put that body down. And he could see good, hear good, and he climbed a mountain pretty good. I guess, ask Dallas. Dallas went to Grandfather Mountain yesterday, did some hiking. He's 17, and he was slap wore out, covered up on the couch when I got home. Ask him something. Guess he went on a mountain hike yesterday. Moses was 120, Dallas. Climbed that mountain. That wasn't the first time he climbed a mountain. He was a champion, and he knew a champion. He'd been in the glory of God. That'll do something for you at 120 years old. Amen?
Amen.
I want to be around somebody that's 99. Amen. Moses was 120, and he climbed a mountain. I want to be around Alicia, her birthday. She's got some climbing she's still doing. Amen? She's going to the beach. She's enjoying her life because she has a God that has blessed her. He died for us and won the victory over the enemy, which is the devil. And I'm feeling good. And, y'all, you know, our families, we've been going through some stuff this past week. I just say junk in the world, congestion, sniffling. But there's a difference between those that are in Christ and in the world. Yeah, we're going through the valley, but we're going through it. And we're giving Him praise and glory, and we're getting the Word, speaking the Word, declaring the Word. And you start preaching about the covenant, guess what? The devil's going to come and test and see if you believe what you're preaching. He's going to do it on everything you stand for. But we're going to continue to stand. There's a lot coming against the world, the morality of God's Word. But Jesus stood on a cross and opened His arms wide, nailed to that cross, and still finished His course. Amen. He didn't lash out like I probably would have wanted to. I'd want to cuss a couple people putting that nail in my hand. But I don't think He did. He could have cursed them. He had the right because He was innocent. But there's a greater power working on the inside of Him. It was God's armor. He was clothed in the glory and the love of God. And He didn't. He loved them. He forgave them. Even the ones that nailed Him to the cross. Jesus, hallelujah, He is the captain of the host. And that's some pretty serious warring ability. Amen? He's clothed in the majesty of God. And all the angels, He's seated high above all principalities, all powers, all authorities, in heaven and in earth. And we're right there with Him, ruling and reigning with Him because He said we are. Not physically with Him right now, but remember, we have a covenant with Him that He cut here on the earth. And that covenant says, everything that He has is mine till death. Right? We don't come out of that covenant till death. Well, Jesus died, but guess what? He entered into a better covenant. When he died, He became sin, but He went into a better covenant because He had no sin. So He took my sin. He took my sin. But freely now, here on the earth, we have to give it to Him. But He took it, so I don't have to keep it. Amen? He exchanged the exchange of weapons and armor. See, that's a spiritual fight that we have to see. It gives new meaning to the verse in 2 Corinthians 10:5. For the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God and His power. Ephesians 6:12-17. Let's just flip on over there to Ephesians. Talking about the exchange of weapons and armor. Ephesians chapter 6. See, I gotta let that worship service just disappear now. See, it tries to hang with you. You know, those little things that don't work out. But there's something more powerful than just things. When you mess up and things don't work out right, you just keep standing, you keep fighting, you keep walking. Ephesians 6, verse 12 through 17. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. If you're wrestling with somebody, quit it. It says, for we do not. We got to say, I do not wrestle with flesh and blood. But I wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And that's a battle that we have to wear God's armor and know that we're in covenant with God to fight. It's a spiritual fight. See, if we're wrestling with others in the flesh, then we're weak. Because, see, in our flesh, we're weak. See, we're fighting a weak battle if we do that. The power that God has given us is a spiritual power. It's humility. It's looking at Christ. What did He do? He did that so we could triumph over the powers of darkness. Because, see, that's the only power the devil operates in is the flesh. And that's where he's weak. But that's where the weak say we are strong because we're not looking at our flesh. We're looking at our spirit in Christ Jesus, our covenant partner. Therefore, verse 13 says, take up the whole armor. Don't just take up the helmet. Take up the shield. Take up that whole armor of God that we may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, if you put the armor on, it's for a purpose. That means your enemy is going to come and he's going to attack. Don't think when you're a Christian and you're not getting attacked, or becoming a Christian, you're not going to get attacked. Don't think that way. because that armor is there for a purpose. Jesus knew the devil was going to come, but he told Peter, I prayed for you, Peter. See, he did a spiritual battle for Peter. He prayed for him that the devil, he wants to sift you white like wheat, but I've prayed for you. That is a part of our, praying is our part of our weapon, the spiritual weapon that Christ has given us in the covenant. Doing all to stand, verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, which with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And don't forget verse 18, praying always with all prayer. There's all kind of different prayers. All prayer and supplications in the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. There's those out there that need our help. Amen. So through that, we can see we got some steps to take. One, stand, therefore. Don't sit. When the battle's going on, ain't time to sit. It's time to get up and stand. When our faith in Christ is being attacked, it ain't time to sit down. It's time to stand up and do it in love. You know, a lot of times the Christian, I think the kind of like the stamp we're supposed to have on us is we're supposed to be weak. We're supposed to be ones that, you know, we're not supposed to love one another. Love is a fight. Amen. Jesus had to do some fighting against religious thoughts. We talked about him getting a whip out. He whipped some people one time. He loved them while he was whipping them. Amen. Some of it takes that. When cutting a covenant, the two people would walk up and down through the halves of the bloody animals. We talked about that. We saw that cutting. Then they would stand, talk about standing therefore, stand in the middle and declare the blessings and the curses of the covenant. You say curses? Yeah, in the old covenant they had to declare the blessings and the cursings. Because if they didn't declare or operate according, Deuteronomy says, if you shall obey the word of the Lord, you'll have the blessings. But if you don't, see, they didn't understand about the devil. So if you don't, then you had to stand and you had to say the cursings. This would be what happened if you didn't obey the word of the Lord. You got curses following. Well, now we're in a new covenant. Jesus came and showed us that curse. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Jesus became a curse so that we wouldn't have to receive that curse. All those curses of Deuteronomy, which comes from the devil. They had to stand in the middle and declare the blessings and curses. They had to stand where they stood in the midst of the blood covenant, declaring. Well, see, I've had to be declaring some things this week. My wife's been declaring some things that, you know what? And we're in the blood. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. We have to stand in His covenant and still declare these promises to me and my family that I'm healed. We're redeemed from this curse. There's no difference. Jesus paid the price, but we have to enforce it. Amen? Y'all remember the show, The Price is Right? I mean, you had to get within that right number, but you had to do something. They called upon you. You had to give them a price. You had to make a decision. And whoever got the closest got to choose, got the prize. I choose Jesus. Amen? But we have to stand in that covenant and we have to declare Him. He says, Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father. And there's our covenant daddy. But if we deny Him before men, He will deny us before the Father. That's the curse. We're not going to deny Christ. But it doesn't mean just rejecting Him. It means rejecting His blessings. And that's not who we are. We're covenant brothers with Jesus, covenant partners. That's where we stand. And then as we stand, we got our loins girt with the truth. The loins represent our emotions. They are girt about with God's truth. And remember, it's His armor. The Word. Jesus said, "Thy Word is truth." His Word is truth. Sometimes my Word it's not true. It's not truth. I say things that I really shouldn't have said. I got to make sure I don't give God the blame for that. If I say something for my brother that's wrong, I always ask God for the Holy Spirit to let me know if I say something in error. And when I find out, I need to go back to my brother. Say, "Hey, I've grew up a little bit. What I used to think, that's what I thought. It didn't line up with God's Word." Just go back and correct yourself. That's called growth. Humility is called growth. Amen. And then number three is our breastplate of righteousness. Remember, it's His righteousness. We put on His armor as a covenant act, and we declare who we are. I remember some of my kids, when they were a little bit younger, they would get into daddy's drawer and dress in his clothes. Declare to be daddy, or declare to be mama if it's the little girl. You know, clothes hanging off their arm, you know, they ain't even got no hands. But see, they see something. They got a vision. See, they're growing, they're learning, they see daddy. Well, in this covenant, we've got to see who we are in Christ and wear His armor. We might not think, "Well, it doesn't fit me." Well, yes, it does. Jesus said it does. He says one size fits all. Amen? His covenant, His armor, one size fits all. See, David, we talked about David and Saul. Saul wanted David to wear his armor. But that wasn't the armor David was clothed with. He had a covenant with God. He had a sling, and he had some rocks, and he knew that he had proven that it worked. He had a lion, and he had a bear. He knew it worked. I want to work what works. Amen. I know it works. And David had a memory, he had a mental picture of that lion and that bear. It's pretty graphic. It worked. But when he was facing Goliath, he could never face Goliath until he faced that lion, until he faced that bear. There was a growth there. And he was wearing God's covenant then, because his dad had taught him about the covenant. He had seen daddy. He imitated daddy. We're supposed to imitate God as little children. And then when we get full grown, we can declare some things. Amen. And see things move. Come on now. We got a covenant with God. You got to see yourself strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what a breastplate of righteousness will do for you. You know you have right standing with God, and it makes you as bold as a lion. I wanted to say Tony the Tiger. That's another. It's like cereal covers are working on me this morning. Frosted Flakes and Wheaties. But Jesus has given us a new covenant, written with better promises. Hallelujah. Feet shed or shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Wearing daddy's shoes. Remember, to fill daddy's shoes, it's got to be shoes of peace. But that peace, like I say, no, you got other armor on. Sometimes the peace has always got to take you. You've always got to be walking in peace. But clothed with all the other armor. Amen. And having the shield of faith is His shield, and it's big enough to protect you. No matter how big or how small, the shield is just the right size. And have the helmet of salvation, which means that you are preserved, you have been delivered. All that God has done through Christ, we need to know that. Paul said, "Oh, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection." He had to keep retraining his mind to what Jesus had showed him and revealed to him His love for him. And always the sword of the Spirit, the ultimate weapon, the Word of God, which is the promises of God, written in the blood of Jesus. Signed and sealed by the blood of Jesus. And that blood, remember, the blood cries out. It speaks. The first murder in the beginning, Cain slew Abel. Abel's righteous blood, his righteous blood cried out. Jesus, his blood is righteous, and it cries out to you and to me and to all those that will come to him. Amen. That's as far as I'm going to be able to take you today in the covenant. But we're going to continue on in this series. I got some more pages to go. We're not, all these pages I have, they're just steps I'm taking that he's taking you and he's going to take us to and take us through some stuff. Amen. But I know there's probably not anybody in here that's not had a battle this week or prior weeks or one coming down the road. But I want us to agree as a church this morning. Terry called and wanted some prayer this morning for him and Barb and the family up in Iowa. And I said, you know what? I got me and two boys riding right here with me. I said, we're dealing with some stuff right now. I said, but we've been talking about and mentioning about the blood covenant. I said, so we're coming in agreement right now with Terry and Barb. And we prayed on the phone. I said, when we get to church, we're going to continue to agree. And we're going to press on and know that we're coming from victory. Amen. Because of the blood. This blood is speaking loud. Amen. Any personal prayers this morning we can agree with you on in particular? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Terry and Barb need our agreement. They're just battling just a lot of sickness, just a lot of congestion. Me and my family, same thing. But the blood of Jesus is powerful. It washes us. It cleanses us. Protects us. And we have that covenant. We have a right to that covenant. And we got to stand and declare it, amen. And see it in the land of the living. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just thank you right now, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for your covenant, for the blood covenant, Lord, for your Son, Jesus, who let his blood flow. And Lord, we just receive our healing today, Lord. We just receive from you today, Father God, what you paid for us on Calvary's hill. Lord, we see it, Jesus. We see you on that cross. We see you being tortured and battered and bruised. And your blood was flowing. You cut the covenant with us before you were slain on that cross. You agreed with the Father to come and be the sacrifice, our atoning sacrifice. Jesus, we give you thanks today for the shedding of that blood. And that through that blood, we have redemption. We can stand here and say we are made righteous. We are made whole and complete by that blood. And Father, I just thank you, Lord, for blessing your people today, healing your people today, protecting your people today from the wiles and tricks of the devil. And Satan, we tell you right now, you have no right to attack us. You have no right to stand against us because Jesus turned his back so that we could turn our backs from you and receive our healing. We submit to God. We resist you right now, Satan, in the name of Jesus. And you have to flee. You have to run in terror from us because God has chosen us. He has redeemed us and he has clothed us with his armor. And we just thank you for that, Father. We praise you for that. And we give you thanks for that. We say thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I feel a lifting, just a heaviness. I just feel the anointing of God just clothing you right now. It's like a weight on you that God just wants you to know. He doesn't give you feelings to make you to know that something's right, but I just feel you're being suited today. He wants you to know that you're suited today, that you're wearing his armor everywhere you go. All this stuff that's happening in the world, all these terrorist attacks, We have the armor of God. And He is there to protect you and to protect our men and women in the armed forces. They need to know they have an armor on too. They are doubly covered by the blood of Jesus. Father, we thank You, Lord, for our men and women that are fighting for our freedom. And Lord, we speak against Ebola right now in the name of Jesus. This plague that's come against our nation, against the world, it's just another deception of the devil packaged in another name. Well, Jesus, Your name is above Ebola right now in the name of Jesus. And no plague, according to Psalms 91, shall come near our dwelling. And Lord, we dwell in the United States of America, so we say right now that it shall not come near our borders right now in our nation. And we just thank You for that. We declare our nation free from Ebola right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You pray for Peter. You pray for the church, Jesus, that we would all be one, united in God's power and His armor. And we thank You for that. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Father, we just thank You right now for Derek's request. He wants to grow and mature in the things of the Lord. So, Father, we just thank You, Lord. You have said yes. There's nothing that You have held back from him. And, Lord, he is a blessing. And he is maturing in the things of God. And his body will come aligned and mature with him. And I thank You, Father God, for the witness and ability, Lord, that You have given him and continue to give him and anoint him with Your words to share with others, that he can lead others and touch others to Christ, bring them to Christ and show them the covenant that he has, and he'll be able to share that covenant, share those blessings with others, Father. And I thank You, Lord, for Your anointing, Father God, for him to minister Your word with power. And that smile that he has, that's power. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Jesus was not saved. Hallelujah. Lord God. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Father. Hallelujah. And we do want to pray for Jane Sowers. Sowers, I'm sorry. And her family. Her brother passed away Friday. And
she lost her uncle yesterday also.
Good gracious. So, all right. Well, Father, we just thank You, Lord, for putting Larry in Jane's path, Father. And we just thank You, Lord, for the strength that this man has. He has an armor that he's been wearing, Lord. He's never taken it off. And he has his trust and faith in You. And we just thank You, Father God, that You are with Jane. You never leave her nor forsake her. And we just pray that we know that You're with that family right now, Father. And we just pray that they would draw upon Your anointing, draw upon Your promises. And Father, we just thank You, Lord, for the words You give Larry to share, and he's already shared, Father. And You said You sit there and watch over and perform every promise of those words that come to pass in their lives. We pray for comfort and strength to that family right now, Father. And for those in the family, Lord, that ain't born again, we just pray that their hearts will be open to the word to receive Jesus in this time of loss. Because, Lord, we know when our loved ones that are in Christ, when their time comes and they leave this world, Father God, they are not lost. We're just going to go join them again. They're in our future. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Well, I'm lighter now, so I'm fitting into my armor. I mean, it wasn't a heaviness. It was just God just letting you know that you've got it on. And it's light. It's not burdensome. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And His armor fits just right. Just right. So don't, let's not let the devil sneak up on us anymore, right? Keep the blood. Keep that word speaking. So stand with me. We're going to be dismissed from service. And then grab you a glass of water. I was going to try to hit about 11 o'clock. It's 11:05. So if we can get back at 11:10, I'm not going to keep you here long. I feel alive. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive.